going on, America? I am Graham Allen, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. Colonel Allen West joins us today again in the studio, but this time we're going to talk about, should we be shouting our abortions? Should Popeye's Chicken and Chick-fil-A be brought into a race battle? And we're also going to discuss gun control, and we're going to talk about the fact of, are Republican men the greatest terrorist threat America faces? Sit back, relax, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast.
Hey!
What's going on, America? And welcome to the Wednesday episode of the Dear America podcast. We are so excited to have Colonel Allen West in the building again. Our last episode, Don't California My Texas, was one of our top episodes, actually. People loved, look at him nodding, obviously.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, people love having you on the show, and we really appreciate
you. Old Man Wednesday.
Coming back on. So let's start it off with a bang really quickly. Sir, you have a big announcement that's official now. So why don't you tell everybody what that is?
Yeah, and it has to do with Don't California My Texas. And I'm running for the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas.
Yay! Very nice.
All right. Where can people go to find out how to support you on that?
It is West, W-E-S-T, the number 4, Texas.com. Okay. West4Texas.com.
Awesome. Easy enough. Well, we are excited now being in Texas to have that happening. Anything that we can do, just let us know, and we would love to
spread the word,
shake things up for
have
you there.
Your endorsement.
There we go. Well, we love having you on the show. Again, I've told you this multiple times. When I was first starting, Colonel Allen West, you were this huge, huge inspiration, and now to have you here, and this is the third time you've been on Rant Nation once, this is twice on the podcast. Mm-hmm. If you'd have told me 2 years ago that we'd be doing this, I would have called you crazy. So I appreciate you coming on the show. Speaking of appreciation, we just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Monday's episode was our highest charted and fastest charted episode. So we're not only reaching the top shows now, we're also reaching top 100 downloaded episodes every time we do it. Thank you. Well, it's not us. It's not us. It is you, the listeners. So I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. We appreciate the support. We felt like it would be semi-successful, but we had no idea that the support would be so high. So thank you guys.
Yeah. Yes,
make
you.
Sure you're subscribing and 5-starring this episode and tell one friend. But today is Wednesday, so that means it's
question day.
Question day from you, the audience. So let's start this off with a good bang of a question that we all really want to know. Why the crap is Jake a Royals fan? Being from Missouri, the Cardinals are the only way to go.
I think I know who wrote that. He's messaged me.
I'm not going to disclose the name. Well, Jake, tell us, why are you the inferior team's fan?
The inferior? I think we just won the World Series. But we're on opposite sides of the state. So St. Louis is on the east side. We're on the west side. We actually have the I-70 showdown where we play each other.
Right.
Oh. And, it wouldn't make much sense for me to be a Cardinals fan. I support them. They're a Missouri team, but...
Okay.
I support the hometown for sure.
Sir, being from Texas, are you an Astros fan or a Rangers fan?
Uh-oh.
Or neither?
Uh-oh.
He said, are you serious?
Neither.
Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia.
There we go. Okay. Oh, all right. Braves fan. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
You said that before. NFL, I knew that. If you had to pick one, though, on the Texas side, which way would you go?
He's going to start a war.
He's not going to start a war.
No, it's not. I like, Texas Rangers. When you think about Texas Rangers,
there you go.
Okay. That's
it's America colors,
it is,
too.
That's
America
why I like
colors.
It.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I do assimilate. So I did get a Rangers hat.
I did too. Where we grew up in Mississippi, there's not a professional team. So when we moved here, we're like, you know what? We're just going to adopt an MLB team.
Sure.
And people are like, why did you pick the Rangers?
Because they have red, white, and blue
colors.
They're
not doing that well towards the back end of the season here. But I look at it like this. You cannot accuse us of being bandwagoners
Truth.
At
That's
this
right.
point.
Exactly.
We picked a
That's
team.
So true, and we're sticking
They're not
with
doing
them.
Great right this second. So if they ever do win, by God, we'll be able
and
to say.
And they have had their moments.
Yep, they have. They made it to the World Series
they
once.
Certainly
yeah.
did.
All right. So anyway.
Great question.
Yeah, great,
Way to
great
start it off.
Question here.
Home
all right.
run.
So let's see here, and we'll go to the guest first. So here's a good one. This is from a younger viewer. So the cool thing about this podcast.
Everyone is younger than me.
Well, okay. I don't know about that. We have such a wide range of listeners. And so this one's from a teenager. So, and we'll go guest first and we'll go around. Tips for conservative teens in blue state schools.
Stand your ground.
I like it. To the point, Alyssa.
Pass. let me think. You're... Okay. Well, I've had this. This is complicated because
what can teenagers that are conservatives do to basically live their life in a school that is a liberal blue school? Is what he's asking.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, yeah. I would
or
say,
she.
I would
I
say
know.
Stand your ground too, but I also say be careful because I have had a lot write me who say they get they might get beat up or different things. So I'd also say be careful and remember your safety as well, depending on what kind of school you go to.
Jake.
Find some like-minded friends in the school. If you don't have any, stand your ground. Be open-minded. Just because your parents raised you a certain way doesn't mean you're locked down to certain beliefs. You know, be open-minded. Discuss different topics with people, and don't be pushed around by your teachers even, too.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think that you have to stand firm in what you believe. But at the same time, you need to obviously have, to use a military term, and I hate doing this, but you need to have situational awareness of where you're at. Obviously, don't pop into the cafeteria and there's 100 Trump haters, and then you pop in there with a MAGA hat on, just asking to get beat up. You know, I mean that there is truth in that, but definitely don't back down on what you believe. Why do liberals think there are Why do liberals think they are so much further ahead in the polls while new facts are saying differently? So reports were coming out even from Fox News like a week ago, and they just released a new poll actually showing that Donald Trump's winning. Whereas a week ago, it was Donald Trump's losing to every single Democrat that he could possibly face. I think that it's a repeat of 2016. There was a poll in October showing 92% that Hillary Clinton was going to win.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump, they gave him 8%. 8%.
I want to know who's doing all these polls.
There are people that need to have relevance and need to have attention. So, you know, if I'm not putting something out, then what are you paying me to do?
Yeah.
But again, like you said, in 2016, these guys were so wrong. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they have lost a lot of credibility, and no one is going to really pay attention to anything until next October at all. So these polls.
Well, I want to know who they're polling too, because these are controlled polling.
I've never taken a poll before.
That's right. Yeah. It's not like they're actually taking data. They've asked millions of Americans. They take about 500 people that they pick. And then they go, out of these 500 people, 92% of BYU.
My question is, like, whose mind is that changing?
Nobody's.
Like, go out and vote for who you want. It's like, oh, they're saying Trump's going to lose, so now I'm not going to vote for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So speaking of voting, let's hop in. This is not a question, but it's a good lead into this. AOC comes out yesterday and basically saying that we need to get rid of the Electoral College because it empowers white supremacists, basically.
Of course.
Like it's designed to give all the power to white men / white supremacists. So she's taking it even a step further now, as she often does. It's not just that the Electoral College is outdated and we need to change it. She's saying that, in fact, it gives power to racist people. Sir, what do you think?
Well, if she would study her history, she would understand that her party was the beginning of white supremacists. And
it's amazing how many Dems don't know the history of their own party.
Or they try to destroy the history.
Right.
Yeah. And that's taking down the monuments.
Taking down the monuments and everything. But look, she is the gift that keeps on giving. And I hope they continue to allow her to talk.
Me too.
Because all that's going to happen is she will be the face that people will think about when they're walking into the polling location, just the same as Omar, Tlaib, and Presley. So please, let you know, AOC and your little girl squad, suicide squad, whatever you want to call yourself, keep talking, because you're going to turn off a whole lot of Americans.
Right. And so so let's expand on that a little bit, because I've become more and more aware that, I mean, people obviously know what the Electoral College is, but there are many, many everyday Americans that don't truly understand. You know, they hear from the Dems, well, we need to get rid of the Electoral College because the primary populations live in these certain areas. So why should they not decide who's going to be the president of the United States? And some people just hear that stuff and they're like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, I guess I can see their point when they say something. But a really good argument I heard for the Electoral College is this the other day. What the Electoral College does is it makes it to where the 51% can't tell the other 49% what to do. And the reason that this is so vitally important, why have people been in Iowa the past 2 weeks? Who goes to Iowa? Who cares?
I mean, or I would like a vacation. Like,
yeah, do you like, sure. Do you like corn? I mean, you know, that's what Joe Rogan said. He's like, well, I guess if you like corn, you're in Iowa. The reason that they are there is because the Electoral College makes it to where states that don't have necessarily the population that, I don't know, Los Angeles does and things like that, or California in general, it allows them to have a voice. And what would happen is if you got rid of the Electoral College, people running for president or elected office in that regard would only pay attention to the 51%. Yeah. Because if all you had to do was get to 51% of the vote, you would have 49% of America. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is exactly. I'm sure it's like 150 million people, 165, something like that. All those people wouldn't matter to you. That's a lot of people. And that's why the Electoral College is actually in place and is so important.
Well, it's the calculus. You know, you go back and you look at, okay, everyone talks about Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Hillary Clinton won 12 states.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is then you want 12 states to have the majority. You want 12 states to institute their tyranny against the other 38 states. But also, when you think about it, you see it happening in, like you say with your T-shirt, in the red states where people are moving in and they're taking over the cities, the urban population centers. So you're going to get to a point, even in a place like Texas, where Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, El Paso, Corpus Christi, and now they got the targets on Tarrant County and Fort Worth. They're going to dictate everything that happens in Texas. So West Texas doesn't matter. East Texas won't matter.
Yeah.
The little rural areas of North Texas won't matter. So this is the whole point. The founding fathers were brilliant to say, we don't want a pure democracy.
Right.
We don't want the rule of this many, of this this majority, because then that leads toward a tyranny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that a lot of people, and this is something that the Democrats do very, very, very well. They just say things and they don't really think about the repercussions of what they're saying. Just look at the basic, like, I don't know, economics of it and the structure of our society. If you got rid of the Electoral College, why would you choose to live somewhere where you know you have no voice and no say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these places like the flyover states like that, people would mass evacuate those places. Then they would overpopulate the areas of which actually have a voice. Mm-hmm. Then you would have this huge infrastructure collapse. People don't think about that kind of stuff.
Well, you know what you just mentioned, what you just really brought up, Graham, and y'all will understand, the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, everything was about the Capitol.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're volunteering as tribute.
Yeah. And everyone else, the districts were just there to serve the Capitol.
Yeah.
And so that's what you end up having. So that, you know, the flyover country is just there to provide the resources so the people in the Capitol can, you know, live their little extravagant lives. That was a very incredible movie, if you think about it, in terms of societal
of
structure.
What could be.
A lot of those places like Los Angeles, Austin, those places are filled with transplants. So a lot of the population are people that aren't even from Texas or from California. Yeah. So the rest of the state, born and raised, don't even have a voice in their own state.
That's one reason why I love these podcasts, because it gives us the opportunity to, in long form, discuss things.
Absolutely.
You know, 220 characters on Twitter isn't a lot to dive into stuff. And so when I encourage everybody, when you hear or read things that people like AOC say, really dive into this stuff, because it's easy to say, oh, let's just get rid of the Electoral College and have a popularity contest. Well, on the outside, that sounds like a, oh, okay, you know, I can kind of, but from a fair standpoint, from a formation of America standpoint, when that leaves a lot of people who really don't matter anymore if you do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that led into a good discussion there. All right, here's a good one. So it's going more towards the Christian side of things here. We opened up that door, and so
that's
now,
all right.
So now it's there.
That's
so
good.
Can there be such a thing as a liberal Christian? I thought that was a very, very in-depth and good question.
Well, if you look at the textbook definition of what a liberal is, going back to John Locke and classical liberalism, it is about individual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And John Locke was a guy that came after Martin Luther. Martin Luther said that every person has a right to have a personal individual relationship
right.
with God and with Jesus. And John Locke said, well, if we all have that spiritual right, then we have natural rights, and all of our natural rights come from our Creator. And so we don't need to go through kings and queens and dukes right. and duchesses. Now, that's truly what liberalism yeah. is supposed to be about.
But I think what they're talking about is, can you be
a leftist
and be a Christian?
A progressive socialist. And I would say no.
Yeah, I think that's the true. Charlie Kirk does a really good job of separating the two, because naturally people just include them all together, liberals and leftists, where actually they're two completely separate things.
Yes, they are.
I think what this I don't know. I'm assuming they're saying, can a radical leftist be a fundamental Christian? And I think the answer to that is no, just because the radical left just supports and pushes things that there's no way as a Bible believing Christian you could support. By abortion topic alone, mm-hmm. I don't see how you can claim to be a leftist and believe scripture wise. If you're a Bible believing Christian, I don't see how you can be both.
Well, yeah. The thing is, they are secular humanists.
Yeah.
And so they don't believe that God is supreme.
Yep.
And so therefore, when you hear all of these leftists talking about that all your rights being a right to health care, a right to murder a baby in the womb,
yep.
A right to a free education, you know, they're saying that we are greater than God. We can supplant him. Your inalienable rights don't come from a creator. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We can guarantee your happiness.
Right.
And so, you know, all of a sudden now we don't have two genders.
Oh, yeah. We brought out the list the other day.
70 some odd gens.
Facebook only recognizes 71, but there's actually like 127 now.
127.
I think it's infinite.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, to put a number on it.
Jake is a firm proponent of the gender number. He's like, it's infinite. We can do whatever.
How can we ever put a number on it if they keep popping up?
I want the gender that makes me a millionaire. What is that? Yeah. What is that gender?
Yeah.
Good luck. Let me know.
All right. So real quick, and this is going to get me on a topic, and I think we'll probably be able to stay on this one a while. We naturally led into it, so I'm going to bring it up. Alyssa Milano is in headlines again.
Oh, yeah.
All right. She wins Baby Hater Award of the decade at this point. All right. So she's in the tabloids now because apparently she had an interview where basically she says that she's proud of her two abortions she had in 1993. Two in the same year. You'd think you figure out how pregnancy keeps happening, but that's a whole nother topic. She says that she would be completely, hold on, let me read it.
I got it.
100%. Oh, here it is. Alyssa Milano. If I hadn't opted for two abortions in 1993, my life would be completely lacking all its great joys today. So,
is she talking about her other children?
No, that's the point. So let me just focus on that really quick. All right. You would be deprived of your great joys today. The greatest joy in life is God blessing you with a child. God help those two kids or three kids she has that made it. You know, they're looking at each other going, whoo, thank you, dodge that bullet. When did we get into a society where we are proud of abortions, right?
Yeah.
What in the topic of abortion is this nice thing that you are murdering a child, plain and simple? You know who never got to experience great joys? The baby you murdered. You know who didn't get to experience great joys? The second baby you murdered. It is, baby lives matter, period, mm-hmm. plain and simple. When you spread this rhetoric, you're telling younger women that it's okay to have an abortion. No, it's not okay. Mm-hmm. It is not okay to have an abortion, period. It's murder. Show me two sonograms. Show me the rape baby. Show me the normal baby. You can't, because they're the same. They're both people.
I think there's a difference between her influence and using it to be like, this is a great joy. Abortion's great. Versus someone who, you know, you're not condemning. You're actually saying, you know, this was a poor decision. For your sake, I hope, you know what I'm saying? Like, she just pushes it as it's a joy. It's a privilege.
I think the great joy is her money and success.
It was like, a selfish decision. She's basically saying that if she hadn't made this decision, she wouldn't have gotten famous.
Wouldn't
she
have been wouldn't an have actress,
had money. Had the money. So by very definition, you are saying that abortion is a selfish decision. B, you made it so you could profit and benefit at the cost of human life. You're selfish. It's terrible. And for that, I do judge your decision. I do. People get mad about, whoa, you're shaming people that had it. When they say things like that, that they made the decision purely out of selfishness, you're right. You're dang right. I do. Yeah. I'm judging you.
Yeah.
Well, and it comes back to that previous question you said where, you know, kind of liberal, but really a leftist be, you know, the Christian principles, can they coexist?
Right.
And so I go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, where God says that I give you these choices. You can choose life or you can choose death.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a conflict. You know,
it's a very Christian thing you just did, sir, actually going to scripture to like gain perspective. Like that's it's a crazy thing, really, you know, if you're a Christian to do that these days.
But, well, but that's what you're supposed to
exactly.
do. Exactly. And I think that is not what has happened in our society today is because of comments like what she just made. We have truly dehumanized children in the United States of America.
It's sickening.
Where, you know, and I wrote a piece about the real lesson learned from Jeffrey Epstein is how we have devalued our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That people can look at our kids that way. And so now
it's you're not a person yet.
You're not a person yet. Or even now, I mean, according to Governor Northam, we'll just set the baby off to the side.
And make him comfortable.
And figure out what we're going to do.
Ralph Northam is still,
he was not going anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. He's still in office, by the way, just, you know, to remind everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kermit Gosnell, how many, you know, the doctor in Philadelphia, you didn't hear the media talking about Kermit Gosnell. Now, he is in prison for exactly what Governor Cuomo signed into law in New York. So we have a cultural problem where we just have devalued the lives of our children. And shame on Alyssa Milano, because I can tell you this past summer, I watched my youngest daughter graduate from college. I watched my oldest daughter graduate from physician assistant school. That's the two great joys
in my
life.
That's right.
I love my children more than I know how to put into words. They drive me crazy sometimes. They do.
Full
transparency. There
you
are times.
You drove your parents crazy.
Sometimes you just want to love them so much. But at the end of the day, I cannot imagine
my life
without the joys of children. I stood there the other day and watched my daughter just draw the other day, sitting at the table. And I remember, and she's getting really good at it. And I just remember thinking what a blessing it is to even be able to stand here and look at my daughter just draw on a piece of paper. That's the greatest blessings that we have as people.
Yep.
Kids remind us and show us that we can be better. And when you selfishly decide to murder a baby for selfish reasons, like Alyssa Milano, she's not even hiding it. I think you're spitting in the face of what Jesus wants to bless you with.
You're spitting in God's eye.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's his miracle that he has given to us. And that's our first inalienable right. So you're spitting in his eye. And I got to tell you something, you know, I would not want to be her.
Nope. I agree. All right. So before we move on, let's get into a sponsor. The Amazon Capital One data breach just hit. 106 million of us just had our names, home addresses, and banking information exposed. Forget credit card theft. Your far greater risk is home title fraud. Title fraud is rampant because identity thieves figured out the title and mortgage to our homes are kept online. Their big payday comes by forging your name off your home's title so it appears they own your home. Then they borrow all your equity till it's gone. Mm. Forget your insurance, bank, or identity theft program. They don't touch this. Home Title Lock does, and they do it by locking down your home's online title and mortgage. The first 60 days after crimes, like the Amazon server Capital One breach, are crucial. So I got you 60 risk-free days of home title lock protection. Claim your 60 risk-free days of protection at HomeTitleLock.com and enter your home address to see if you're already a victim. That's HomeTitleLock.com, HomeTitleLock.com. All right. So, Jake, real quick, we got a great comment yesterday. They're talking about the fact that I read the ads and articles from my phone.
Yeah.
They're like, can you not afford...
A teleprompter
or an iPad or something. I don't know, dude. Why don't you donate some money and we'll do it? But as of now, I like reading it off my phone. I like having
it looks
right
good.
Here.
That's your personal teleprompter.
Yeah,
that's
I don't get entitled people. Really? You know, that's the problem you have with this show. I think we're doing pretty good. Ooh, here is a good one to turn it back funny side. I've got three good ones. You guys ready?
Change gears.
All right. This viral tweet from Jennifer Titus took the world by storm.
Oh, my God.
The world.
The world.
I'm serious.
I believe
this you. This is legit. This is the one of the biggest marital debates of all time.
Toilet paper.
How cool do you keep your house? Hashtag Dear America.
Exactly. I thought it was toilet paper.
New report shows these as the recommended tips for energy efficiency.
85.
Hashtag Dear America. Let us know if you agree with this. 78 degrees when you're home.
No.
85 when you're at work or away.
No.
And 82 when you're sleeping. These are demons in people's bodies living amongst 82? Us.
That's 10 degrees
82
higher.
At night.
That's what serial killers do.
Yeah.
Period. You are a serial killer. I'm 69 degrees at night.
I sweat out my toxins.
60. Okay, Jake, what's it on at your house normally?
68 at night.
He's a degree colder than us.
Yeah, 70 whenever we're home, like in the evening, 75 when we're gone.
All right, sir, what about you?
71 to 72, constant.
Okay, yeah. All right. We are 70 during the day, and at night I drop it to 69.
We drop it
1 degree. 1 degree. I don't know who you interviewed here. I'm having a really hard time understanding that.
Well, my energy company does nights free, so when, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. is free. So
when it's 85 degrees outside, I don't go outside. You know what I mean? So why in the world would you want...
Our kids wouldn't sleep.
I just don't even...
No, they wouldn't sleep.
I don't understand. There's no way you don't sweat at 82 degrees with covers on top. There's no way. That's disgusting. Shame on you. Hashtag Dear America, let us know. All right, sir, I'm glad you're here for this one.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you're aware, but
Is this a question about Geritol or something?
No. But it's going the other direction. You are slightly a darker complexion than me.
Oh, there you go.
So I am glad for you.
It's a lot. You're really white.
Thanks.
Love you.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
I'm surprised you even came back to the podcast.
Jeez, yeah.
Being the biggest terrorist threat to America.
All right, so about 2 or 3 days ago, there was this huge Twitter battle between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes, which one had the best chicken sandwich?
Oh, I'm
Chick-fil-A.
Easy.
Well, no. Now Popeyes has come out with a new one. That's why it started. I haven't tried the Popeyes one yet, so I can't.
Let me just tell you why. Okay.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A.
Jesus chicken.
Chick-fil-A. Well, that too. But Chick-fil-A was started in Atlanta, Georgia.
Here we go.
There you go.
Popeyes. Nolens.
No.
See, that's why I don't like Popeyes.
I like some Popeyes now.
It's easy.
I will say
it's
all
right, easy.
But that's not what caught my attention.
Okay.
All right. What caught my attention was one person's reply that actually got huge traction because apparently everybody agrees with him. All right. I'm going to try to quote this as best I can. Y'all talking about Popeyes chicken sandwiches, but can't pop your eyes open and see that the white man has a sandwich between poverty and oppression. And I'm just curious your thoughts. One, do you
first of all, what does Sam Hill?
He went way off in left field.
He took a poll between
two chicken sandwiches and turned it into a race battle. And people took off with it. They're all like, "You so woke, you so right, blah blah blah."
Oh.
My question to you is,
Eat the chicken and shut up.
I'm
sick and tired of everything being, you know, brought down to the issue of race.
Right.
It's just a dadgum chicken sandwich.
Eat it, man. Just eat it.
Chick-fil-A bowl. What, I mean, now is that going to be a racist bowl?
Yeah, probably now.
I don't understand the thought process of, like you said, why are we at this point where even something as meaningless, really, it's fun. Like, it's fun. Do you like Popeyes better or Chick-fil-A? It's fun. Yeah. You know? And you turn it into this race thing. Y'all talk about eating chicken.
Victim mentality.
While the black man is sandwiched between poverty and oppression.
But that's the culture now.
But who sandwiched you between poverty
and oppression? That's the question that you really need to ask.
That's the whole point. Look at Baltimore. Okay, look at certain neighborhoods here in Dallas. Look at all of these, Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C. So if you want to talk about who's sandwiching you, then let's get to the real discussion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Those are the exact same people that you continue to support.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you say that you're woke, you're sleep as hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, okay. It's a place. Okay. You know, so, I mean, that's the truth. All right, sir. And I brought this up because this happened here in Texas, actually. It is not unknown that black males like the hard lines cut into their hairline, right?
Oh, that's true, because I tried to.
That's a standard thing. Even us white guys, well, I don't have the hairline for it, but Jake, you get the hard line, the hard part cut into your hair and everything. I think it's cool. I think it's good.
You kind of got a little bit of Vanilla Ice haircut.
Starting to get there. All right. Trends repeat themselves, Jake. Nice. Remember that. All right. So,
coming back.
Texas school officials sued. They're sued. It's already gone legal, all right, for allegedly coloring in a black student's fade haircut with a permanent marker because it went against the hair guidelines of the school. So basically, the schools have guidelines. School says you can't have ridiculous hairlines cut into your head.
Yeah, but shouldn't you
call
the parents?
So the kid shows up, and they're like, well, hey, no need to call the parents. We'll just color it in real quick.
I mean, get my Sharpie.
Yeah, that sounds like a redneck solution to a problem.
Here we go.
Better than buzzing it
all
off.
Is that a racist thing to do? Because that's what they're suing for, that's racist. Is that a racist thing?
No, it's not a racist
thing. It's a dumb thing. I don't know why you do it.
It's a stupid thing. But again, everything has to be about racism. Look, there's a code.
Yeah,
an appearance code, and your kids are supposed to adhere to it. If you're sending your kid there, obviously before the school year, you signed off
that's
on these
right.
things,
yep.
and you know
exactly.
So what they should have done was they should have called, you know, Johnny or parents and said,
send them home.
Yeah, send them home. Hey, this is you're in violation of code, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's that. But
I agree.
Buzz it
Why
off
do we have to sue everything? Where are people getting this money to get the lawyers to
Amen.
Sue? It's expensive
it
to
is.
Sue somebody.
Haven't you seen all the billboards?
I mean. It's expensive, man.
You get a lawyer for anything.
That's true.
Oh my
have
gosh.
Your kids had their hair sharpied? Call 1-800.
We don't get paid.
Jake, what
you
do you got? Let's mix it up a little bit here.
The other day, I brought up that guy who was suing Katy Perry for sexual misconduct. Mm-hmm. There's a second
Hashtag me too.
There's a second person coming forward, a female, saying Katy Perry acted inappropriate at an industry party, drunkenly touching her and trying to kiss her after being told to back off.
I have no problems believing that.
Yeah. Actually,
we live in a society and culture where women can do in terms of sexual stuff. Let's just break it down to the most bare minimum of things. When it comes to sex or anything sexually related, we live in a culture where women can do literally whatever they want.
Yeah.
Period. They can do whatever they want. However they want it. Basis of samples are this. Women can walk around with cleavage and stuff hanging out all the time. Literally the lowest amount of tops you can. It's perfectly acceptable. It's okay. It's even wanted.
You better not look, though.
Let a dude walk around with half a you-know-what hanging out, and he's in jail.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just saying, but they're both sexual parts of a body. So why is one okay and the other one's not?
Because one is pretty and one is not.
Wow. Are you saying that the female
body is more pretty? Absolutely.
Whoa, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Everyone knows that.
I agree with you. I think we're actually hideous at the end of the day. But what I'm saying is I have no problems believing that. Of course Katy Perry did. I guarantee she's done it 100 times.
I'll show you some pictures of women's body that ain't pretty.
Just saying.
So
why do you have pictures of women's bodies.
Uh-oh. Google has it.
Trouble.
We live in a society to where there is a drastic double standard of what's acceptable sexually for men and what's acceptable sexually for women. If a dude walks up, because there was one where she like literally pulled the dude's pants down.
Yeah.
All right. If a dude walked up and pulled the pants and underwear down of a woman,
forget about it.
He'd be done forever.
Well, you think about, you know, the teachers and students thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at, you know, if a man, you know, has an inappropriate relationship with a young female student, I mean, it's like toast.
Oh, yeah.
But when it's the female and she comes on, most of us say, oh, man, you know, what's the big deal? Or the dad probably saying, that's my boy.
That's, yeah.
Where were those teachers when I was a kid?
I have made a joke of that. If my daughter comes home with anyone that's even a month older, I'd be like, no. But if my son comes home with, like, he's a freshman, she's a senior, I'd be like, high fives.
Well, terrible. Joe Rogan did about Weinstein. He's like, if it was my daughter, I would kill Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
If it was Harvina Weinstein and it was my son, how bad do you want to be Spider-Man?
How bad
son?
Do you want to be Batman?
Terrible. Yeah.
But that's the culture.
True,
no,
it's
the culture. It's the culture. It's acceptable for men to date younger women, and it's less accepted for younger women to date older men. Like, you know what I mean? It's weird. It's strange how certain things are okay.
Or we even call a woman that is dating a younger man, you know, a certain name.
Yeah.
And it can somewhat be derogatory or demeaning or denigrating. But like you said, an older guy, I mean, he walks in with a, you know, a 20 or 30 year old, and everybody's like, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something else that's interesting, man, and I don't agree with it whatsoever, but a trend that I'm noticing is people seem to be far more accepting of a black man and white woman now than they are of a white man, black woman, seems to be. It seems to be weird like that, that we have these things to where some things are more accepted and just understood,
well,
and then blah, 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 blah.
I will tell you that my oldest daughter, boyfriend, who will soon be her fiancé, number one, I don't like him because he's an Alabama football
player. Oh, you know Brandon.
No. Oh, I mean, no. Dadgum. I mean, you know, every third Saturday. But, I mean, he's white.
Yeah. And who cares?
She's happy. And so that's the big thing. But, you know, it's interesting because when you look at the decimation of young black males in society today, you know, my daughter said, Dad, you know, I have to be with someone that, you know, I can share my feelings, my beliefs, and I don't want to have that stigma of, you know.
Me and Alyssa have had this conversation a lot. Yeah. You know, where we come from in Mississippi, you know, there was a stigma. It's not that way in Mississippi anymore, but, you know, you're still living the stigma against it a little bit in Mississippi. I don't care. You know,
I don't.
If it's a dude that and treats my daughter the right
absolutely.
Way,
that's what
or
matters.
Or
that's
if it's
right.
a girl that loves my son the way or sons the way that they need to be, like, I don't care.
No.
You know what? Whatever.
I just don't like the fact he's an Alabama football.
People seem to view it different ways.
Hang on,
that's all
I'm going to encourage you for a minute because I'm a Mississippi State fan, and so is my father, and he's an Alabama fan. And Daddy's almost come around after 10 years of marriage to Graham.
Yeah.
So there's hope for
there
you,
is
sir.
Hope. There is hope. It may be 10,
it's
11
tough.
Years down the
it's
road.
Tough.
But
it was
you know.
A tough.
Ooh, Alyssa, this is a good one for you.
Oh, no. Okay.
Prepare yourself.
I haven't had much coffee.
Right.
Go ahead.
And then I'd love to get the female perspective first, and then we'll go around the room as men.
Okay.
All right. Why are women so offended in 2019 when you actually treat them like a lady?
Excellent question. I guess probably back to culturally, we can do it ourselves. We're independent.
Yeah.
We don't need nothing from no man, yada, yada, blah.
Do real women believe that? I mean,
no.
Do real women want that kind of thing?
No, we want a gentleman.
Because I can stop doing certain things if I need to.
No,
and
that's
I don't
perfectly
want to
fine. And you know what's sad, though? We should be thankful. But we also shouldn't be entitled or expect that, too. I mean, it's a balance. Like, if you want a good man, you need to be a good woman.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a scary time, honestly, raising kids.
I don't
scary
like taking
time.
The trash out. I don't like to be the one that has to confront the rodent or bug in the house. You know, I don't like spiders either. You know what I mean? And so I completely agree. Let's just level the whole plan. No, sir, what do you think? Is chivalry dead?
No, I don't think chivalry is dead. I think that the people on the left would like for it to be dead. Okay. As a matter of fact, they have redefined it as toxic masculinity.
That's right.
You know, if you're, you know, there was a reason why the movie Braveheart was successful.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just for the guys.
Right.
It's because women saw this incredibly passionate romantic warrior.
Yeah.
And he was lopping off heads because they killed his wife.
Yeah.
And he married her in secret so that the English lord would not be able to have her.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, we should still look to and raise up these, you know, young, strong men and warriors, but they have to have the right reason why they're standing up and fighting for things.
Yeah.
And that's what women are looking for. There's nothing wrong to be a protector. And yeah. Going back, I mean, that's the one thing that I looked at Troy, that's his name. I said, you are going to accept the responsibility of protecting my daughter.
Yeah.
And as long as you can do that, you're fine by
That's a very, and my daughter is fixing to turn six. So, you know, I'm not there yet where you are. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's long way away. But I'm already feeling that. Like, I don't know how I'm going to, and it makes me respect my father-in-law even more. I don't know how I'm going to hand that mantle off that, okay, now it's your job to look after and protect and support my, you know,
see,
I see why your dad, that we have an infamous wedding photo where Alyssa, he walked her down the aisle. I mean, we actually have it in a photo and Alyssa's like looking at me, you can tell, but he's like just looking up in the air, like eyes closed. Like you could tell it was almost painful.
And I was baby
that's
girl.
A long walk.
It's a long walk.
He had three daughters and I was the baby.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm starting to figure that out. But that goes with the fact of, men are supposed to be protective of women. Like that's just a natural thing that's supposed to be. There's nothing offensive about it.
That's where culturally, even in the schools, and we talked about this almost every podcast now, it's just being just pushed so hard. You can't be a princess. You can't be a prince. We all need to be on equal playing field.
Or vice versa. You can be a princess or a prince if you want.
And it's confusing. And there's no grounding. And that's why it's so scary. And we keep preaching on the family's job now, especially. Always has been, but especially now. To show your children, you know, mm-hmm. take them on the daddy-daughter day. I mean, they need to know roles. That's important. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, that's bad.
I think we even live in a society now that if you had a daddy-daughter day, like some people would find it weird and have issue with it. Like, why are you taking your daughter out on a date?
Well, no,
you
know, there have been places that canceled daddy-daughter
days. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They canceled it, yeah.
It's,
why can't mom just come?
I think now because we talked about this last podcast with the sexualization of children in the school and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I think we live in a society now that we've sexualized children so much that a grown adult dad can't take his daughter out on a date, and I'm doing the quotation marks, because people would view it as this horrible thing that it's actually not supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, there's no sexuality in it at all. It's to show your daughter what a man should treat you like when you go out on a date. There's no sexuality in it. People, disgusting people, are actually putting that into that situation.
Yeah, they are.
And it's just, I don't know, man. It's weird. Hashtag Dear America, let us know what you think. Is chivalry dead, or is it simply in a stranglehold of modern day feminism? Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think. I would be curious to hear. Alyssa, what do you got?
It's not amazing, but I thought it was funny.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so things are getting weird in Virginia. So apparently, seems many residents have been visited by a strange person wearing a television set on their head who has been leaving vintage TVs on their porches since Sunday.
Yeah, I saw this. Talk about a big emotional spike and letdown.
Someone saw him, though. He squats down, puts the TV there, walks away. It's really weird. No one understands why he's doing this. He hasn't said any reason. He just has a TV on his head.
I want to know multiple things. Why do you have a TV on your head?
Where are you getting all these old TVs?
How did you get it on your head? Three, where the crap are you getting these old TVs from? And four, I don't even know where to go to find a VHS tape anymore. How'd you get out of the psych ward?
What I want to know.
Do you know, like auxiliary cables in the wall are different now? You know, we don't have the one that's got like the freaking needle in the middle that
screws
in anymore.
He's probably a hoarder.
Mm-hmm. You know
a hoarder trying to get rid of all his TVs.
I don't understand
at
all.
I got one more. Okay, this woman took her dog Lola to get her trim, her nails cut, her teeth clean. But instead, when she picked up Lola, quote, I noticed they'd shaved her eyebrows off and tried to fix the mistake by drawing green eyebrows on her.
People drawing on things again. Sharpie.
It's the Sharpie thing.
Yeah, it's if you could see her, though. The dog's underside was also pink. And yeah, so she reported she was not happy because Lola's eyebrows were green.
Wow.
Lola must have been so
embarrassed. People with their animals, man, always freak me out a little bit. Like, I get you have animals, you love them. I understand. They're not people. Calm down.
Speaking of animals.
Oh, no. Ducky was close.
A new research paper published last week by a staff member at the Women's Studies Department at SUNY Brockport makes the case that dairy industry production is raping and sexually assaulting cows.
Are you serious?
See what I mean? We're over-sexualizing everything.
It's a
now
cow.
You're raping cows.
You didn't ask that cow for consent to milk it.
Because it's a cow.
You know what? The cow is appreciative.
I don't have to ask that cow nothing.
Anywhere on a farm, you would know a cow needs to be milked.
Yeah. that's the problem. It's stupid people that have no idea what it's actually. They probably never even been around a cow.
Probably not.
But you know what is amazing is that someone is sending their kid to that college. Mm-hmm. And it's probably expensive.
Yeah.
To get a degree in women's studies from a professor like that, and then they come out and complain about debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's exactly the point. People are dumb, man. Alyssa gets mad at me because I throw idiot and dumb around too much. People are dumb. Dumb.
Stupid dumb.
Speaking about this, Jake, I think it was you that said this, so if not, go with it like it was you.
Roll with it.
Didn't you say The Matrix is one of your favorite movies?
I did.
Okay. Did you hear that a fourth Matrix has been confirmed with Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss both reprising their roles as Trinity and Neo?
Not sure how I feel about it.
Are they going to have their kids?
We're going to find out that John Wick has actually been in The Matrix the whole time. Yes. That's going to be the deal.
I would say, Keanu, you're doing great with the John Wick.
He is. Stick with it.
Stick with
it. Well, he's also brought back Bill and Ted, which I'm super pumped about.
I love
There's a third
John
Bill
Wick.
And Ted coming. Maybe, premise, maybe Bill and Ted travel back in time before Neo breaks down the Matrix. And now Keanu Reeves and Trinity both have to fix the Matrix again before Bill and Ted can go back into the future to tell John Wick 4 it doesn't need to happen.
Wow. I don't even know what Bill and Ted is.
I just blew everybody's mind.
Yeah, you did.
The podcast. Hashtag Dear America. Let me know if you think Keanu should take that movie.
We did see Hobbs and Shaw last night, and it was good.
We did see Hobbs and Shaw.
It was good.
It is the most outlandishly unrealistic movie ever, but it's a good time. It's a good time.
Got Jason Statham in it. Of course
the
it's not
Rock
realistic.
The Rock literally holds one arm onto a truck and a chain in the other and holds an airplane or a helicopter.
Have you seen
like,
that man?
Literally
it's
holds
possible.
It. So, you know, but it's a good a good time.
That's
also
very sexist of you.
Also Spider-Man has been pulled out of the Marvel universe because talks broke down between Sony, who owns the rights to Spider-Man and Marvel. So there will be no more Spider-Man movies showing right
Spider-Woman.
Yeah, they can do that. Sony owns the rights.
Wow.
So we could have just had the very last Spider-Man movie.
Can't we just all get along?
Can't we all just make cool movies for people to watch?
Jeez. Apparently not.
All right. One other thing, a funny thing, and then we're going to get into something more serious. Nevada County issuing emergency declaration in advance of the storm of Area 51. So apparently this thing has gained so much traction now that Nevada County is like,
I think it turned into a musical festival.
Maybe we should, Nevada County issuing emergency declaration.
Right.
Yeah, because they're like, there's fixing to be a lot of stupid people coming here.
Probably.
But I think the founder turned it into a music festival.
It's too late, man. You can't do that to save face. It's done. All right.
I'm going to try to storm
this. We'll see.
I'm very curious of your thoughts on this now. So this is something near and dear to my heart. It is not unknown since El Paso and Dayton that guns are under attack. The Second Amendment is under attack again. Even from prominent Republican figures, even there seems to be support of red flag laws. Mm-hmm. I saw a poll that I do not trust that said the majority of Americans actually support red flag laws.
Republicans.
Now. Yeah, Republican yeah. Americans. And I'm like, who are you talking to? Because I've seen nothing but adamant non-support of red flag laws. Mm-hmm. So the master of all things guns, David Hogg, has now come on, and he's spreading his lies again. And I hate it because David Hogg just goes so far. Like, his tweets go everywhere. All right. And here's the lie. Bernie Sanders has done this. Every Democratic person has spread this lie. And I'm going to read it first and see if you guys pick up on the lie. Gun violence is an epidemic that claims nearly 40,000 lives every year. Gun violence is an epidemic that claims nearly 40,000 lives every year.
Gun deaths.
Gun-related deaths claim 40,000 lives right. every single year. By saying gun violence, what the left is trying to do is make you believe that it's these white guys with ARs that are going and shooting all these people. So 40,000 people are dying. No, actually.
Suicide isn't violence.
The vast majority
right?
of and that suicide is suicide.
Yeah, that's the number one cause. And full disclosure, I'm a board member for the National Rifle Association and endowment and benefactor member for the State Rifle Association. David Hogg needs to shut up. First and foremost, he needs to understand.
I concur.
He needs to understand what happened at Parkland.
Yeah.
Parkland was not had anything to do with guns. It had everything to do with the failure of law enforcement.
Yep.
The FBI had been tipped off with Nicholas Cruz.
Multiple times.
45 visits, the local law enforcement, to Nicholas Cruz's home.
Yeah.
The Broward school board, the Broward school system knew about his violence and he had been expelled. But because of the Obama-era promise program, he was never reported. Mm. Florida already has a thing called the Baker Act. They could have acted on the Baker Act. So, again, facts mean something.
Yeah.
The other thing about gun-related deaths is that if you were to extract, let me see, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, and Washington, D.C., we would not have a gun-related death problem in the United States of America. You saw what just happened in Philadelphia. That guy did not go through any universal or any background check whatsoever.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he had, I think, 3 or 4 pages long rap sheet. You hear about these red flag laws that are popping up that people want to have. This is a complete violation of your constitutional rights, your Second and your Fourth Amendment. Give you a case in point. A reaction of the shooting in Parkland, 18 states enacted red flag laws.
Right.
Last November in Maryland, 61-year-old Gary Willis lost his life. 5:17 in the morning, police show up at his residence to serve a red flag protection order. 5:17 in the morning. Now, someone comes banging on your door at 5:17 in the morning. What's the first thing you're going to do?
We got problems.
Yeah,
I'm getting guns.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he went to the door with his firearm. The police shot him.
Yeah.
No one knows who the police are that shot him. No one knows who turned in a red flag protection order against him. No one has ever seen the red flag protection order. Mm. Now, just recently in Florida, 2 weeks ago, Jonathan Carpenter gets a certified letter from the state of Florida saying that your concealed carry permit has been revoked and you need to come in and adjudicate this. So he comes in, and it comes to be that he has been completely mistaken for another Jonathan Carpenter, who is a real criminal that someone made a complaint about domestic abuse on.
Hmm. Interesting.
They still took his weapons.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
They still took his weapons. He still has to go through a court hearing that he will have to pay for. And the person that made the claim against the other Jonathan Carpenter has to come to the court and say, this is not that Jonathan Carpenter. This is what red flag laws do.
Yeah.
And so they're silly. They're insidious. They're a violation of our constitutional rights, what the left wants to do. All of a sudden, Graham, someone's listening to your podcast.
Oh, it would happen within a week.
Yeah.
Within a week, I'd have police at my house. That Graham Allen guy.
That Graham,
you can't trust him.
And so that's what the left wants. And shame on any Republican that goes down the path to support this. And I'm calling you out, Lindsey Graham. Shame on you for getting in bed with Richard Blumenthal.
I think that on the surface, it sounded like a good idea. But I think
like FISA courts.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
FISA courts sound like a good idea until it got into the hands of the wrong people.
Well, you know, laws are not supposed to be emotionally based. Laws are supposed to be black and white. And at the end of the day, you got to look at the Constitution. Does the Constitution support red flag laws? And I think that the abundant answer is no, it does not. So anyway, I agree. But that's a good thing to pay attention to. When people say gun violence, it is blatantly dishonest what they're saying. What they're really talking about is gun-related deaths. Yes. And the vast majority of those are self-inflicted.
And just for historical reference, in 2011, Hugo Chavez banned private gun ownership in Venezuela because he said he wanted to curtail gun violence.
Yeah.
And look at what is happening to the people there today.
Yeah. It has been repeated in history so many times at this point. But, you know.
And just to clarify about Trump, he is backing down.
Oh,
now, right?
Yeah, he is.
Because I see him as a master of the media. And I think he said that to kind of ease the left a little bit until the next big story happened. And he'd slowly back away from it. Because everybody's kind of moved on to the next.
We called it here. I said, I don't see it gaining momentum, the president being behind red
flag laws. Short-term memories.
Yeah, exactly.
He would lose re-election.
Anything, yeah, would. Everything in the media, everything social media, everything has about a 7 to 10 day shelf life if it's really big. If it's really big. If it's not super big, about 3 days.
Yeah.
But really huge things have about a 7 to 10 day shelf life. So let's talk about something that's really big in the news right now. And this is probably going to be our last big topic, sir, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it. And this happened on CNN 2 nights ago. They were talking about the Tlaib Omar Israel ban and, you know, their press conference about it. And basically it's Chris Cuomo and they've got some white guy on there. I don't know his name. I'm not going to pretend to. And they've got Angela Rye. And they're debating. I don't know if you guys can see the screenshot here. They're debating about this whole incident and situation. And somehow it ends up getting in there. The white guy starts going on a tangent. And he starts talking about terrorists and terrorism and stuff like that. I'm assuming it has to do, you know, with Palestine and all that other kind of stuff. Yeah. But the clip shows apparently that word set her off.
Hijacking.
Yeah, hijacking and terrorists. And she basically starts going on this tangent of, I mean, she gets straight up, she takes it back to the block in this. I mean, she starts like snapping her fingers, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And she ends up saying that the greatest terrorist threat that America faces is white Republican men. Like that is according to her. Is this a thought? Because CNN would have you believe that the African-American community, like this is a common, like, narrative that they all believe in unison, that white Republican men are the biggest threat to Americans. I'm just curious your thoughts. I mean, is this something that you've seen? I mean,
of course not. I mean, look, and I know Angela Rye. She was the executive director of the Congressional Black Caucus when I was in the Congressional Black Caucus.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
But I will tell you that she has gone off the reservation. Now, she has gone off the planet.
No.
And I think that this is a lot of hyperbole. But what is really concerning a lot of people in the black progressive socialist leftist movement is that people are waking up. You want to talk about people being woke. I mean, look at Candace Owens, what she has done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So black conservatism is a growing thing. And what they have to try to do is stoke these racism, you know, fires so much. Mm. And again, if you just look at the history of the Democrat Party, there was not a white Republican president that invited, you know, the Ku Klux Klan into the White House to show the movie Birth of the Nation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
And you know, if you go back and study Lyndon Johnson, I mean, Lyndon Johnson didn't want to have the Civil Rights Act passed because he was being benevolent. He saw a window of opportunity, and he said something very racist when he, on Air
years.
Force One. Yes, right. No, 200.
200 years.
We'll have him voting for us for 200 years. And when he didn't say us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we have to have those voices that counter that narrative. And they, if they continue down this path believing that everyone that does not think or believe as they do, and if you have a certain skin color, you're a racist, you're a white nationalist, whatever, they're going to lose horribly next year. They're going to chase people out of their party. That's why you have this hashtag walk away party.
Yeah.
And even Pierce Morgan,
Pierce Morgan.
Yeah, Pierce Morgan has come out and said that these people are now fascists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was talking to Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
They had like a reuniting of them, because it was the Pierce Morgan interview that really kind of set Ben Shapiro's career off, so they were having a thing. But he said that as well.
Speaking of that same interview and stoking the flames of racism, the white guy's talking about Ilhan and Tlaib, mm-hmm. and he says, you know, and these folks, blah, 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 blah. And she says, these folks.
Yeah.
You know, like, how is that racist?
That's not.
Like,
that's
these
not.
Folks.
Well, they're triggered by everything.
Yeah, exactly. Every single phrase, yeah. Like, these people, these
I
people.
I say that all the time. These people over here, man, they don't know what they're talking about. I could be talking about anybody.
Yeah.
A bunch of white people over there. Those people don't know what they're, you know what I mean?
These women.
Yeah.
These women. Yeah. What do you mean, these women?
Was I supposed to say those women?
Well, it's that unrighteous indignation.
Mm.
That is turning people off.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that people are just getting tired of the constant whining all the time and the constant turmoil of the left, not liberals, mm-hmm. the left.
Yeah.
Everything is a problem.
Everything.
Everything.
Well, it's just
is a
like
problem.
Tlaib and Omar, if we want to talk about how this whole thing got started. They have to understand there's consequences to your actions.
Yeah.
There's consequences to your statements and these positions that you're taking. So not everyone has to sit around and just roll over and play dead for you to walk on them. And so here you have a country that you have pretty much so come out and said, we don't want you to exist. They're going to say, oh, well, heck no.
Yeah.
You're not coming into our country if that's your belief. You're not going to use this as an opportunity to politicize. And furthermore, the organization that's sponsoring you to come
mm-hmm.
over here is a terrorist organization. They're affiliated with terrorists. So
yeah, that reminds me of a video, one of my favorite videos of you in New York, I think. You were speaking at an event in New York.
You were on the Dear America podcast, and it was a really good one. And
besides this video that you are watching now, folks.
Right here. That was about 11 years ago. So.
And you got really passionate, and you said something like, and we must stand up and defend against the enemies of Israel. And the enemies of this country, and just the way you said it gives me goosebumps every time. But if you're talking about enemies of Israel, they're in the Congress right now.
Yeah,
they are in the Congress. And I will tell you something. They should not have a security clearance.
Mm. No.
Oh, I completely agree.
If you said the things that they say in the military,
gone.
You'd be done.
Oh, yeah.
Gone.
Done. Your security clearance is revoked. I mean, all this, it is mind-boggling to me that they are even where they are. And it has nothing to do with them being women of color.
No.
Nothing. It has to do with they are psychopaths.
Well, and they always want to try to, we're the victims.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can go out here and we can say that we need to have sanctions on Israel just like.
So what if
Nazi
we were
going
to have meetings in Israel with people that want to destroy Israel? So what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to let me
dare
do
you,
it?
How dare
exactly.
you silence me to be able
Why
yeah,
not?
We're silencing you. You, oh, God.
And they use words like people of color. Like,
yeah,
you're
women of color.
Well, women of color, too.
Of color.
It's like, are you bringing yourself back in time? Like, no one says people of color.
Nobody says that. Yeah, it's just, no, we don't
that
see.
That was racist like 10 years ago.
We don't see women of color. We see just
you are,
ignorant people.
You're a United States congressional representative.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Act like that.
Yeah.
And again, if you don't want to. You know, if you want to take these positions, there are consequences.
Yep. Omar's press conference, someone made a comment. It's not my words, but I thought it was great. They said, after watching this, you would not think that she was a elected representative for Wisconsin's or Minnesota's 5th district. You would think that she was a representative for Palestine.
Yeah.
To listen to her speak, the things that she's super passionate about, pay attention to what people are super passionate
That's
about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everything that she is super passionate about is anti-American and anti-Israel.
Yep.
Everything. Everything. Literally everything. Look at all her tweets. Look at every press conference she's had. Look at every major standpoint she's on. It's anti-American, anti-Israel. And the fact that she's, I don't know. I think we ought to be able to remove people. But, you know, I mean, well, maybe I'll get in trouble for that. I mean, you got to go through a process.
Her voters have to do it.
Yeah, the voters have to do it at the end of the day. And that's the best way to do it because emotions can get removed out of it by doing it that way. So I nod my hat to that we should probably just vote her out. Anyway, sir, thank you so much for coming. One more time, where can people go to find what's going on with you and where they can support you?
TheOldSchoolPatriot.com, and I'm on, you know, Twitter and Instagram and everything. But for our campaign to be the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, it's West West4Texas.com.
West4Texas.com. Make sure to check it out. Alyssa, where can they find you?
Alyssa Allen on Instagram and Facebook.
Jake?
Find me on Instagram at producer_Jake.
And I am Graham Allen. You know that because you're listening to this podcast, but you can find me pretty much anywhere just by Googling me. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Dear America podcast, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
See you.